Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
My next guest left Croatia for a better life in Ireland, but found himself sleeping rough in freezing conditions. He has used this frightening experience as motivation to help other people who are in the same situation. Jay Bobignac, thank you so much for joining me. Good morning.
Good morning, Jennifer.
How are you?
Thanks for having me on the show this morning.
Oh, I'm good. Listen, I'm delighted to have you. Can we talk about Croatia, where you're from, first of all? Because I've been there many times to Dubrovnik at friends' weddings, and it's a real kind of holiday destination. But you left Croatia for a better life. Can you describe your experience of Croatia and why you chose to leave?
Yeah, Croatia is a holiday destination, particularly summer months mostly. I grew up on an island, a very small and rural religious island. And as it goes with the island economies, they are very poor and seasonal. Mm. And the town I grew up in was one of those. I remember it was situated between two mountains and the sea coast, and then the road out. So that was all there was.
You mentioned there it was rural and religious, and that's all you had to say. I get it. I get it why you left. Yeah. But why did you pick Ireland?
Opportunities. I Googled a few countries in Europe, and Ireland had a reputation of opportunity. And there was, I saw there was very many headquarters of multinationals companies.
That's
such as
right.
Intel, PayPal, and people were known as friendly. So I knew I could get here, get a job, and get a start in life.
Okay, so you Googled Ireland. That came up, and probably pretty similar to the rural, a lot of rural places in Ireland, and religious. You know, we have that in common with your island in Croatia. But what was your plan when you came here? Did you just pack your bag, you know, leave Croatia, arrive at Dublin Airport? Did you have anything set up, or what was your plan?
I left, packed up and left. The plan was to obviously get a job, place to stay. And the way it happened, I soon realized that that was impossible. I realized that the rent market was very high, and for a job, I needed an address to get a PPS number, and to get a job, I needed an address. I need an address to get a job, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
So it was a catch-22 scenario. On top of it all, I had no job history, and most places required a proven track record. So this didn't go as planned. So I ended up in a park. And I'm not sure if you remember 2016, but it was the rainiest winter I experienced. Certainly in the last 5 years I've been here.
How old were you, Jay?
19 in 2016.
And your brother was here and and homeless. Were you aware of this when you left?
Yes. But we both agreed that being homeless in the, you know, first world city in Ireland was better to be poor in a rural place.
Wow.
Because at least you have a fighting chance, you know, just a chance. And that's all you can really hope for. No guarantees, no certainties, but anything can happen.
So you're willing to take that chance. Did your family know that you were living in a park when you arrived?
Well, I kind of came from a dysfunctional family, so we both know, my brother and myself, that it was this or nothing.
Yeah.
And, you know, from a young age, you know, I was inspired. I was a big TV fan, so I got inspired by stories like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I related this to myself. I saw that with hard work, a person can come from a small town and achieve so much just giving it your all and your best. And like I said, no guarantee, but all you can do is try.
You have an incredible attitude. It's just unfortunate that you didn't have the guidance, you know, at the time. What is it like sleeping in a park? Can you just describe that first night to me?
Yeah. In the beginning, it's very raw and primal, but it soon becomes the norm. It's especially the winter. Winters can get extremely cold, and but I can tell you that there was a lot of help out there for me. So it's even though it's very hard and taxing, I remember going to the one of the first nights going to a soup run, and people there were extremely friendly, extremely helpful. The food they provided was amazing. They gave socks and underwear, books. It was really good from that side of things.
Wow. What part did you sleep in, Jay?
I had a couple places, mostly Stevens Green and Phoenix Park. Mm. But yeah, this few experiences. I remember waking up one morning and there was a guy very close to me using drugs with the needle. So that was kind of a scary experience.
It sounds horrific. It really does. I mean, and you're obviously escorted or you're kicked out, so to speak, of parks at a certain time, aren't you? So then you're deprived of sleep and you're aimlessly just walking around the city. How did you spend your days?
Yeah, usually in Stevens Green in particular, security would come in. You don't know what time. It could be 4 a.m., could be 6, 7, could be 10. Mm-hmm. So you kind of bound to walk around. And yeah, like I said, the fatigue is, it's a chronic fatigue that gets carried from one day to the next because you never catch up with the sleep. So this goes on for months, and from walking, you obviously, you get blisters. And I had a case of athlete's foot, I remember as well, which is hard to forget. Yeah, it's very taxing.
How did you clean yourself, Jay?
Well, there's few services. I can't say it's all bad. You know, there's certain services where you can, if you go at a certain time and you wait in a certain line for a certain amount of time, you can get a shower. There's help out there. There's, you know, you can get toilet socks and underwear, clothes.
Yeah, all from charities, I suspect, who are doing, you know, the soup runs, and, you know, we've had them on the show before. Were they a lifeline for you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I don't think there's any other way of saying it. Without them, you know, I have no idea the way it would work out. They were there every day. You know, in Dublin, when you're homeless, if you're in a good place, you're never alone. There's plenty of help, and I experienced certainly plenty of it.
And what about the language? I mean, how did you converse? Was your English pretty good before you came here?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I've learned English from TV. Obviously, the pronunciation, the accent was a little bit rougher, but I think you kind of smoothen that through experience.
Good on you. Now, this went on for a year, Jay. Can you describe to me emotionally and physically what state were you at that stage after a year of doing this?
Well, after a year of what I've said, you're exhausted. Mm. The tank is getting empty at that point. You continue the routine, and you feel like you're near an end. Like I said, physically and mentally, you're just drained. And I'm naturally a very stoic person, very calm. But you know, there's only so much a person can take when it comes to fatigue and
living like that and living in parks. So can we talk about the turning point now? So what happened and how did you get help?
One night, myself and my brother walking down O'Connell Street, and we've seen this big green bus. It was a Tiglin and No Bucks Cafe, and we walked onto the bus where we met the people there, the volunteers, and they were extremely friendly and helpful. And that's where I met the chairman of Tiglin and the DCM, Aubrey McCarthy, that connected with me, and we built a great relationship from there on. And I remember there was an instance where in Phoenix Park, myself and my brother, we got bitten by bugs, and it was like a pretty kind of ugly looking thing.
Yeah.
And Aubrey offered help, and he got us doctor, which was understanding. Oh, this is something different. You know, this guy's willing to go a step further.
And he did go a step further. I mean, what was the next phase for you?
From there, through Teglen and through Abri, we were able to get transitional housing that was at Chancery Place, just opposite the forecourt. So that allowed to focus on more important things. That's when I started education through Teglen and with IT Carlo. IT Carlo had a satellite campus on the Teglen premises in Ashford. So that when I got accepted onto that, there was a big piece. Education, I value education greatly, and that's I always advertise.
Well,
that.
Jay, you get that you have the address now. So fortunately for you, Teglen exists and helped you get you into accommodation. Then you're able to get your PPS, and then you're able to start your life after a year of absolute hell. You went on to complete a degree in applied social care, and currently you're undertaking a master's in IT Carlo. What a phenomenal achievement. You, my friend, are a little legend. Fair play to you. How does it feel to be doing that?
I mean, it's great. That's something that I, you know, looking back, I never thought it would happen this way. But, you know, you can't take I can't take all the credit and say this was all me, because there was a lot of people that helped me around, especially when it comes to academia, obviously foreign language, and I didn't know how it works. And I had a professor, her name is Antonia Brockelbank, and she was very instrumental in this. So, like I said, the team, the people get together and everybody helps out, and that's how you move forward, you know, and everybody.
Thank God you had all these people to help you along the way, but through your resilience and determination, you got there. I don't know if a lot of people would have the same attitude after a year of sleeping in Stephen's Green and Pier Street. You know, it's quite incredible. I love what you do, because you're giving back, aren't you? Because you actually work as a community employment supervisor at Teglen Soup Kitchen on Pier Street. How important is it that you help other people who are in the same situation that you were in?
Well, just from telling you what I told you, I was part of their community.
Yeah.
I know everything about how things go on the streets. And I was, you know, on that pathway very recently. So I know the supports and the avenues. I know how I got out of it. And now I have resources from Teglen and IT Carlo and other places that I work with to progress people that were in my situation. So that's quite unique. And and I'm a, you know, like I said, I couldn't do it on my own. This is through access of resources that are available. And I'm a great believer, you know, once you kind of reach a certain stage, you have to send the lift back down. It's the natural progression.
Order. Yeah, and should be that way. And you're helping lots of people, and thank God for you. And you planted a tree where you once slept rough. Is that right?
Yeah. That was when I was in transitional housing. I had a tree, and when I got my own place, I was moving out. So I had this tree, and I decided to plant it at that spot, kind of, you know, as a symbol of moving on from their life, kind of.
And just before Christmas, you won the Irish Red Cross's Young Humanitarian Award for your work helping people in vulnerable situations to advance their lives. What did that mean to you?
Well, that was amazing. That was it was a great moment. But, you know, it means that, really means that I'm part of a team, you know, as I said, you know, and it was a great acknowledgement for the teamwork and our people. And, you know, I've seen 19 people engage in education this year. We serve about 250 clients every day. And myself and my colleague, Jessica Wade, we open doors, you know. Some people need help with addiction. Some people need a vocation. But everyone needs something. And yeah, it was a great honor to receive this from such a prestigious organization as Red Cross. Everybody knows it. And, you know, I was actually shortlisted for an award from USI, Students Union, as well. So that's another thing. But
keep doing the work that you're doing. It's so badly needed. How do you like living in Dublin now or in Ireland? How are you finding it?
I mean, Dublin's a great place. It's one of the places I've traveled a few places, so I kind of know what you like. And Dublin is a great place. One of the best places you'll find from opportunities, people, everything really, except the rain. But that's
Yes. Well, I am definitely going to agree with you on that one. Listen, you are just so resilient. I just want to thank you for sharing your inspirational story. Best of luck with everything. I suspect great things from you, and hopefully we'll have you on again soon, Jay, okay?
Yeah, well, I suppose for everyone listening, if I can progress, anyone can do it. And I think that's the bottom line. It's just, I don't want to be an inspiration or not that I want to put myself in that position, but it's something that anyone can do it. And thanks for talking to me this
It's
morning.
great to talk to you. Jay, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I just want to let you guys know you can donate to Tiglin, Tiglin, if you like. That's www.tiglin.ie. So badly needed. And the funds, if you can donate anything, you can do so and do something good today. What an incredible story. We'll be back right after this.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.